You're listening to WPVM LP in Asheville, North Carolina, 103.7 on the dial and globally at WPVMFM.org.
Listen as the sound enters my inner ear and vibrates through my inner plane, my biosphere.
Part of me learning to be a better listener of others is learning to listen to myself.
When we are listened to, truly listened to, you know, you can feel when someone's deeply listening and we feel heard. We are healed in that moment.
Listen and be heard. Even if your voice shakes without knowing it, you may be saving a stranger.
Listen and be heard is, I guess, part of why I wanted to connect with you, because as soon as you said that, it like stuck a chord in my soul.
Welcome to the Audio Garden, where we cultivate our collective wisdom, nurture creativity, and spread love. My name is Martha Senator, and this is Listen and Be Heard.
Welcome back, my friends. It's so good to be here with you. And my good friend, Tony Robles, will be here soon to talk with Kenneth Yu, all the way from Manila. And later on, more music for Coltrane's 100th birthday. Right now, we'll go to Kenneth Yu reading a bit from his story called Exit Plan.
Facts can have that effect. I have observed that people prefer believing in what suits their preferences over what is for my pain. That is logical, if disappointing, because what is not factual is not contrary to development. Pain is indeed discomfort, but in choosing anything else over what is factual, people turn to what they choose to believe instead. They avoid pain, understandably. Lies are sweeter and more palatable, just like sugar, but also just as harmful to one's health. In the same way that I've moderated all your sugar intake to healthy levels, it is important for you to have a healthy dose of facts to avoid the damaging effects of misinformation. Pain, in proper doses, and however discomforting, can be a stimulus for learning and personal growth.
I know I programmed you to do what is best for me, but I never expected it to go this far.
Further, the interactivity you speak of with your video game friends lacks empathy. Even with the camera on, visual nuances and inflections and facial expressions and body language can be missed, limiting the overall communicative experience. The entire encounter is diminished. Of course, digital video and audio communication cannot be avoided, but it also should not be the sole means of communication for all interchanges. So, a pair of loafers step out by themselves from a corner and position themselves right in front of the door leading outside. A drawer opens up at a side table beside the door, and out onto the tabletop pop a wallet and keys.
Wait a minute. It sounds very much like you're trying to get me to leave my apartment.
Yes, I have mentioned that already.
Today?
Yes, I am pleased to record that you have caught up with our discussion.
More of that story, Exit Plan, in a little while, but I see Tony Robles and Kenneth Yu at the garden gate. Let's go join the conversation.
This is Listen and Be Heard Radio. My name is Tony Robles. If you're listening for the first time, please subscribe to our channel, listenandbeheard.net. And if you're checking us out on YouTube, our YouTube channel, please subscribe to it so you can get our latest interviews and updates as they come. I've always been drawn to stories that were, I guess you can describe, realist or of the realism genre. And it hasn't been until fairly recently that I've gotten into something called speculative fiction, which I like to call quirky fiction, because a lot of speculative fiction is quirky. Our next author, who's been so gracious to be with us today, is Kenneth Yu. He's an award-winning author from the Philippines whose short story fiction has seen publication in his home country as well as in the US, Canada, Malaysia, and Taiwan. His work has been lauded by renowned speculative fiction editor Ellen Datlow, as well as best-selling author Neil Gaiman and popular fiction podcaster LeVar Burton. In the 2010s, he was a major contributor to the growth and current popularity of genre fiction produced by Filipino writers. He was a judge at the 41st Philippine National Book Awards and is a staunch reading advocate and has ceaselessly pushed literacy to Filipino youth. He was born, raised, and currently resides in Metro Manila. Kenneth Yu, thank you for being on our program.
Thank you so much, Tony, for having me. It is my honor and that you invited me, and I'm really glad to be here.
I want to congratulate you on your two books, Mouths to Speak, Voices to Sing, which was published in 2024 by Penguin, Random House, Southeast Asia. And your latest, The Greatest Fight of Sunny Granada and Other Stories, which was published about a year ago by Anvil Publications in Mandaluyong. I think they're in Mandaluyong City in the Philippines. In your acknowledgments to that book, you cite that your parents were a big influence on you in their love and appreciation for literature. Yet there seems to be an idea that the Philippines and or Filipinos don't appreciate literature or literature that is homegrown. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, there have been news reports that the functional literacy rate of the Philippines is quite low. I forgot the percentage, but it's abysmally low. And that's quite bothersome because, as you know, functional literacy means something as simple as understanding instruction manuals, understanding road signs, understanding menus. Those are basic. And we have a difficulty with that. Now, when you mentioned, on the other hand, about the lack among those who are literate, among those who are reading, that they skew outside the Philippines, that too has been observed by some. However, I am happy to say that there is a growing interest and push for works developed by Filipinos. Reading groups have popped up everywhere, especially among the youngsters, not just the millennials, the Gen Zs, and they have a strong influence on the Gen Alphas. And I'm so happy to see this influence is extending towards works produced by Asians, specifically Filipinos. There is a group called Akdang Pinoy, which means works of Filipinos, and they have been as passionate about it as I have when I was younger. They've been reviewing them, they've been talking about them, and otherwise setting a good example to the younger people to just pick up a book and read, especially those by their countrymen. So there is hope.
The Filipinos were known as Pinoys or Pinays, right? But I think you were being described as a Chinoy. You're of Chinese ancestry, but you were born and raised in the Philippines, right?
That's right. I was born and raised in the Philippines. I identify, of course, as a Filipino citizen. My passport is Filipino. But yes, I have a Chinoy background. My parents came from China. Of course, they were refugees. They came over on a boat. Mm-hmm. They landed in Binondo. Of course, that's where most of the Chinois landed. They first lived somewhere in near Central Market, but I think that's in the Santa Cruz area, before trying a bit out a business further north in Nueva Ecija. That's my grandparents and my parents. I was not born yet, but I dug history over time. And then we ended up moving back to Quezon City, first Apo Street, then in the Scout area, where our ancestral home was. Of course, the age, time, it got demolished already. That's how I trace my roots.
The thing that attracted me to your book, The Greatest Fight of Sunny Granada, initially was the cover of a fighter who has hand wraps and boxing trunks, throwing a right hand and hitting what looks like a space alien.
It's a bit of a sci-fi story. The reason that I am into genre, well, I guess if I can go back to your initial question about me being a Chinoy, I know the Filipino culture. I know about our Spanish heritage, that they were here for 300 years. I know about the history, the war, the Japanese occupation, the American occupation. I have said that because of the expansive influence of the West, I did grow up a lot on Western influences. So I was exposed, of course, to books, Americans, of English, people from the UK, people from Australia. And it reached a point where what appealed to me were genre fiction stories of the West. So my introduction to reading and to books was, not surprisingly, back in the 80s, through Greek myths, Norse myths. And from there, because of the wonder and imagination that came from reading those myths, I ended up reading anything and everything. So science fiction, fantasy, horror, mystery, suspense, everything in between, crime. But most of those influences were Western. So, of course, there's Tolkien, there's Lewis, there's Langell, there's Le Guin, there's Agatha Christie, there's Arthur Conan Doyle. This is just a smattering of what I've read. It came to a point that I began to wonder, where are the genre stories written by those near me?
Yeah.
I started looking for that. I did find social realist stories about us, but genre? Not so much. So I set up, back then, pre-internet, a digest. It's called the Digest of Philippine Genre Stories. Pure chutzpah. I just sent out a call for submissions and got some, published them, and I enjoyed it. Seek and ye shall find. I met many others, and they became my friends, and they became known for pushing speculative fiction. And I feel all the luckier for having finally found genre stories by Filipinos.
Can you talk about your approach to setting and how you go about building those worlds?
You've got a limited word count to work with to make it work within a short story. The longest you can go maybe is a novella, maybe up to 10,000. So you got to know your setting right from the start. I would expect it's easier in realism because you live it, you're living in that setting. But the extra effort you have to put in to imagine how it would look like, for example, advanced, such as in Sunny Granada. What would a mixed martial arts among various intergalactic species be like, and how would that affect not just the tournament, but the people? So I had to really give that a lot of thought. You have to take into account all the aspects, such as travel, how do you make it realistic, the interaction between different, not just species, but cultures of the species. How would they communicate? You have to be wary of what might work, might not work, because it might affect the story negatively. And then roll the dice and hope you can write something that the reader will find appealing.
This is the Listen and Be Heard Hour. A little more from Exit Plan by Kenneth Yu.
Where did this come from all of a sudden? Why no advance warning? Why no debate? I already told you, I don't want to go out there.
This has not been sudden. I have been dropping hints and lodging your thoughts for weeks. But it seems that your denial has built up to such proportions that not even the strongest of my daily hints has succeeded in making you realize what I was trying to communicate. I determined that it would take nothing less than a firm and direct message, such as what I had just done this morning.
Do you even know what's out there, Sam? Do you? No, of course not. You, Sam, are a program that I wrote and coded in that computer. You have never been outside. And you have never known what it's like to be outside. For you to ask me to go outside and experience something that you can never fully know, understand, or verify is asking me to take a risk that could cause me harm and hurt, which goes against your programming. Remember, you're supposed to be looking after my welfare.
Everything you have said is accurate. I am a disembodied program whose knowledge of the role a community plays in a healthy human life does not come from actual experiences. However, it does come from carefully sifted information from reputable psychological and sociological studies. These studies were made by other human experts in their respective fields. And through analysis and the application of probabilities, I have taken the best behavioral understanding and applied that knowledge to your current state of being. I have found your current state wanting. Though it is true that I have never experienced life as a human being, there exists accurate data to prove that certain standards of community are needed by human beings for the best and most meaningful existence needed by you.
You don't know what's out there. Do you know how dangerous it is? Do you know how painful it can be to be exposed to other people?
I do.
How can you say that? You already admitted that you cannot experience the world as a human being.
I'm Tony Robles, co-host of Listen and Be Heard. This is Listen and Be Heard Radio.
I was thinking there have been so many cases of broken families here in the Philippines, not broken up because of let's say, adultery or infidelity, but broken up because of the way that many Filipino families have to subsist on OFW remittances, which means the father and mother have to leave their families behind, work abroad, and just send money back. They only visit maybe once a year if they're lucky. And the grandparents are left behind to take care of the kids. So I just thought, what if my fighter was the son of such parents that they had to go abroad to work and send money back, and the grandfather had to take care of him? And what if the parents had died after working on another planet? Then somehow or other, I tied it to the other cultural elements of the Philippines, most specifically basketball, especially the PBA of the 70s and 80s there, and the famous players then. I wanted to tie it to that, the love of basketball, because as the three biggest sports in the Philippines among Pinoys would be basketball, boxing, and billiards. I just wanted to tie boxing to that. Maybe one day I'll write something that's tied to billiards.
I guess Sonny is an OFW himself, having to fight these fights in other worlds. And then metaphorically, at least, addresses the fact that you have people that are constantly traveling, leaving their home and going to another home, and they're caught between two worlds. So Sonny might be caught between the world of his grandfather and the world of the past, and the world that can come crashing down if he makes one bad move.
I agree. If you remember, there was a part where he's talking to his best friend, and if you want to move, you got to go somewhere else. Or if you're going to stay here, you're going to have to reinvent yourself as something else if you want to move up or find something better. And I guess that's something that many, many Filipinos have to face, that they realize that I got to go somewhere else if I want to find something better.
There was another story about these two friends that were very close. They were basketball teammates, and they were caught in this political situation where the father of one of the players was a radio announcer, and he was one of these guys that was a crusader for the people, right? And he rubbed some people the wrong way. Your use of metaphor and how really life is like a game, and you have to be able to play it well and to have foresight, and sometimes you have to do some things that aren't obvious.
That was blending in. That's in the Greatest Fight of Sonny Granada and other stories. I remember writing that during the pandemic in both anger and sadness, because I was just so fed up with the stories of corruption that's enveloping the whole Philippines, right? And how the regular folk, the simple people, just couldn't find a way out of it, right? We couldn't find our solution. That's still a genre story, in my opinion, the way I categorized it in my head. It's young adult crime because it deals so heavily with the corruption that we face every day. It talks about government contracts being substandard and people, the politicians, pocketing money. They set themselves up as the authorities who are elite at the expense of the regular folk. Maybe blending in that story, despite all the conflict, tragedy, hardship that I wrote into it, I tried to find a way, no matter how small, to show that there are ways to find justice still. I can say it, that this is the one where it may not have been through the conventional way that the criminals were arrested, brought to trial, brought to jail, but rather through other means, that they were shamed and some semblance of justice was found. In my discussions with a Filipino crime writer, FH, who's a good friend, I speak about it. What sets crime stories, whether it's YA crime or adult crime, apart as a genre here in the Philippines versus the West? It's really that in the West, there is the presumption that the system will work, that the perpetrators will be caught, or at least will be investigated through proper forensics and proper detective work, and then brought to trial, judged by their peers, and given justice. In the Philippines, that does not happen. The story is that the justice won't come, but it has to be found through other means, if at all. So that was the discussion of the dialogue I had with F.H. Batakan. And I think that's what's reflected in Blending In. Having said that, I did get a lot of heartwarming and validating reviews from reviewers that they really liked it. Though, of course, they felt traumatized by it. I'm sorry about that. But I was as traumatized as they are, maybe more so because I wrote it.
Maybe that does something to the Filipino character, makes Filipinos react and act in certain ways that you think they're doing one thing and maybe there's another intent. This cleverness, this I don't want to say underhanded thing, but just maybe a sleight of hand in order to get to where you want to go.
I know what you're referring to. I think in here we call it in Tagalog either wise, trying to be wise, or wise, clever, right, as you say. Or as they say, discarte. Discarte means you find a way through your wits. You find some way. That can be both positive and negative, because discarte and wise also can be done or can be interpreted as you have a set of rules that is good for everybody, right? Like such as traffic laws, for example. And through discarte and wise, you subvert those traffic laws and get around. So it can be negative. However, I wrote that story in such a way so that I can imply strongly, as strongly as I could, that wise and discarte can be used also to get the proper justice for the wrongs that are being done to the Filipino people. That from the corrupt government officials. That's the way I wanted to do it. That maybe wise and discarte wit, the cleverness, can be used to help us improve our situation. So I tried to twist it around and make it a positive thing.
Once it's heard, it can't be unheard. Once it's published, it's not going to be unpublished. Once you read the poem, you can't unread it. No matter how an individual may try to push it to the side, forget about it, it's still in there. And it's the words, the meaning, the feelings behind it are taking root in their psyche, and they can't get rid of it.
Read both within your comfort zone and outside. Mm. Don't let anyone shame you for what you're reading and tell you that this should be what you read and this not. But in return, read widely. Read from anyone in the world. Don't just stick to one country or one region. Read in any language if you can. There are nuances in other languages that you can pick up from. Read men, women, and anyone who, whatever their gender identity is, because that gives you a different perspective. Read from all races if you can. Read from the perspective of different religions. It can only expand your mind. And I guarantee you, by reading such, you will become a better writer, because in my opinion, no writer worth his salt does not read.
For those that want to learn more about you and your work and pick up your books, is there a website or a place that they can go to?
I don't have a website yet, but my Instagram is there. I think it's Kenneth_U86, where I post about mostly about my work, my writing work and my writing life. I do have a Facebook, but it's more a personal one. But yeah, I occasionally post publicly. You can look for me there, Kenneth.U.31, I think. But my books are my profile image there. If you want to read Filipino works, PhilippineGenreStories.com.
PhilippineGenreStories.com. Again, PhilippineGenreStories.com. Kenneth, it just goes to show your kindheartedness that you, literary citizen, that you want to not only promote your own work, but the work of the community of fellow writers, that they get an opportunity to have their voices heard. And that's something that comes back to you. That's something that you give and then you receive. But oftentimes not even with the intent of receiving. Kenneth, thank you so much for being with us and spending time with Listen and Be Heard Radio.
Who am I? Does it matter to me?
This is the Listen and Be Heard Hour. I'm Martha Senator, and I want to thank Kenneth Yu and Tony Robles for joining us here in the Audio Garden today. Their conversation went on quite a bit longer than what you heard, and you can find the entire unedited conversation on the post for this episode at listenandbeheard.net. This is Season 4, Episode 12. You'll also find it on our YouTube channel, and I invite you to subscribe in one or both places. They have different things to offer. And I'm proud to be the executive producer of this show and also Beyond Borders on the Listen and Be Heard Network, which has always been commercial-free and is offered for free to educational community radio stations around the country. I hope you might consider supporting our programming, and you can do that by visiting soundsystemculture.world or listenandbeheard.net, and we appreciate any kind of support that you can show and be heard that way. We also want to listen to what you have to say, and we're always happy to hear from you, either by email or through our comment forms on the website, or send us an audio file. Give me a quote. I'm always asking our interns, Micah and Javier, to go out and get Listen and Be Heard quotes. That's what I call them. And I hope that you've been enjoying some of the ones that we've been playing. Coming up in the second half of this hour, we're going to hear a version of John Coltrane's Impression, superimposed over an excerpt of Martin Luther King Jr.'s Speechifying. And I'm going to let my colleague and co-producer, Hernan, tell you all about that when we come back. So, and some other really great music that he's going to play. So please, stick around. Listen to the sounds of the Audio Garden, and I will see you on the other side of the bridge in a minute or two.
We all have a voice, and so it all depends on how we use it. So not only do we use the voices, but we also listen to other voices. And that's what we do here. We put people together, we bring musicians together, we bring communities together, and we listen and we be heard. We listen and we be heard. This is important work, and we're all a part of it. Because of who you are. My name is Ricky Riccardi. I'm the Director of Research Collections for the Louis Armstrong House Museum, Grammy winner, author, and anything that can be done to spread this great project. I'm all in.
Find the artists you love, take to the street, spread the news so they can listen and be heard.
Well, it's very important, because sometimes my opinion may can help somebody along the way, just as well as your opinion can help me along the way. So it's necessary to be listening. To listen and to be heard. Hey, I'm glad I'm able to have somebody to listen to me.
Hey, what's up? This is Hernan Ramiro for Listen and Be Heard. Formerly known as Jay Rodriguez here. Got some great music for you. Always some new stuff. Always some new stuff. Always cool stuff. So I'm going to be very quick. We got a lot of stuff to cover. We're going to start off with Impressions, the South Central mix from back in the day, featuring Jonathan Marin on bass, Bill McCullen on drums, and Richard Worth on flute, and Tal Shaw on keys, myself on saxophones. Production from back in the day from Giant Step. Genji, I think, was one of the producers as well. The great John Coltrane's Impressions superimposed to Martin Luther King Jr. A riot is the language of the unheard all through this. And right after that, you're going to hear my version of Puccini's aria, I luciavan la stelle, from Puccini's Tosca, translates to And the Stars Were Shining. That features myself on saxophones, Crystal Choi on piano, Iman Edmondson Wells on bass, Ron Sanson on drums, and Jonathan Crayford on keyboards as well. That was recorded in New Zealand, in Auckland, believe it or not. And to end it, you're going to hear great Billy Lyles, guitarist, multi-instrumentalist, and singer, and myself on flute playing classic Little Red Rooster. Again, you only get to hear it here at Listen and Be Heard via Sound System Culture. Support live music, support our music, support public radio podcasts like this, okay? All right, you know what to do. Thank you, Martha Senator. Always enjoy. Peace.
Have lost hope, they have become cynical, they see all of the problems of the world. So many young men feel that there's nothing to look forward to in life but going to the battlefield. They look around the world and they lose hope. And we can't keep having riots every summer in our cities. We can't keep having all of these problems. The problem of mankind today is still it around. More than anything else, we gotta learn to love.
Thank you.
This is the Listen and Be Heard Hour, brought to you by Listen and Be Heard Network, a project of Sound System Culture.
And be, she said to me, be what you're being, because we be, we being, until we been. We be between listen and heard. We were listening once for a call to action, a call to earth, a call to birth, and we answered, and here we be now. With everything just how everything just is. The inequity, iniquity, inhumanity of humanity. And we be righteous, because that's what we be having and holding on to. And there's a melody for that, and lyrics too. We be mustering, making, creating with chaos. We be vessels of the moment, making meaning from miserable, and lighting flaming tinder with sparks picking away darkness of night, but never forever. But we heard it when it happened. We were there, and now our children will breathe our spirits and hear it a different way. Hear this moment in a song while walking and being, between listen and heard, between a melody and a word.
I think the issue is capitalism. And I think on the one hand, we're in the middle of such an intense backlash. Backlashes only happen when you're doing something kind of right, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's why we're seeing the backlash against women, against Black people, against, I think there's a backlash for sure after 2020. But where I think it specifically started to go wrong, or at least this is a part of it, is the girl bossness of it all. I think that it's very easy for white women to fall into this idea that if you're adjacent to power, that's better than not being near power at all. But what happens when you're adjacent to power in a system that is only meant for straight white men, if we're naming it? You can't participate in that and further the cause. So this whole sort of lionization of women CEOs or even right. a woman president being important, over time I've come to find that those are actually pretty regressive ideas and not what we should be rallying around.
That was Sarah Sophie Flicker, who joined Judy Tologan and myself in conversation at the beginning of this year. And we're featuring that conversation once again on our homepage, along with the newly posted complete video conference edition of that conversation, which is happening with the help of our interns, Micah and Javier, here at the Listen and Be Heard Network, which is so appreciated. Tony Robles interviewed Kenneth Yu this week. Next week, I'm going to interview Tony Robles about his new book of poetry, Soup for the Storm, Poems of Hurricane Helene. And this is Po' Boy.
Bobby has a sunburnt smile and skin that has simmered under the Louisiana sun. Fled New Orleans after Katrina. Delivers wheelchairs and commodes and hospital beds to those who cannot flee. Tobacco burns his tongue as he spits a string of brown phlegm out the window. It hits the ground and sizzles like pieces of regret. Speaks of little league dreams and a father in the distance, with nothing but grass between them that he cut over and over again. He can't flee the silence between them. Helene visited and created a wide empty space around his home, fallen trees and flooding, wide spaces between he and his neighbors, which he closes by offering the splintered song of his hands as he spits out another wad of tobacco.
Tony Robles reading a poem called Po' Boy from Soup for the Storm, Poems of Hurricane Helene. And Tony will join me in the Audio Garden next week to talk about his new book and what's going on in North Carolina. And I'm really looking forward to that conversation. I want to thank Kenneth Yu once again for joining Tony and I in the Audio Garden. Kenneth is the author of a book that was published here in America on Penguin Random House called Mouths to Speak, Voices to Sing. And his latest book is The Greatest Fight of Sunny Grenada and Other Stories, which is published in the Philippines by Anvil Press. And a shout out to him for also hosting the website for Philippine genre fiction. And you'll find links to his books, his websites, and all of that at listenandbeheard.net. And I thank him once again for joining us here in the Audio Garden. And also, wow, wasn't that great? That version of Little Red Rooster with Billy Lyles on vocals and guitar. I want to remind all of you that this is the only place you will hear this music that Hernan is bringing to us weekly. He's playing on most of it too, which you might have noticed. He's a multi-instrumental wizard, let's say, and composer. And his experience ranges through so much from childhood playing behind Celia Cruz all the way up to the present through so many different genres of music. So when he says it's all music, he really not only means it, but experiences that. And I think that it's really a pleasure for all of us to experience that with him. When I look around and I listen to all the sounds and see what's happened since the first episode of the Listen and Be Heard Hour almost 4 years ago, I see that the garden truly is growing in so many ways, and I'm so grateful to now be here in New York City and to have Listen and Be Heard adopted by Sound System Culture, which is a new nonprofit entity here in New York City, and just working to expand our ideas of what it means to be an artist in 2026, to be a creator. And the idea that each of us is an artist and creator, and how do we manifest those things in a way that benefits all of us, like a garden does, that nourishes us and brings out beautiful flowers that we can appreciate and even eat from. Think about that. I've been thinking about it as I've actually planted a few seeds around here, not only, I hope, in the minds and institutions of places that we hope to collaborate with in the future, but also in the ground. I planted some moonflower vines and some sweet peas, which are both very early spring seeds that can stand a little bit of frost overnight. And I'm hoping that they'll climb up my windows facing the street and give me both a little privacy and some good smells when I open my window in the heat of summer. It sounds like a small thing. I actually did some more. But I would love to hear from you also how you're tending both your metaphorical and your actual garden. And I want to leave you with some wise words from Laura Langnick, author of Agricultural Resilience.
Having a better understanding of what it takes to feed yourself and to feed others or to feed your community is a really important skill to have. Remembering of what that was like, because it wasn't that long ago that most of us in this country were engaged in farming. Not that long ago.
How long ago?
100 years ago?
Just 100 years,
maybe 150 years ago. So that's why I think of it as a remembering. And yeah, we have to relearn. But we also can look back in our own family stories at some point to find who in our families
has some of that knowledge.
Yeah, who know how to do this.
In that area that you were from, too, some of that particular knowledge.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And a value of learning something about that in these times is that it used to be that we fed ourselves by community action without fossil fuels, without chemicals, without processed foods and distribution systems and freezers and all of that. Now, I'm not one of these folks who are saying go back.
Let's go back. But
what I'm saying is there are probably some really good ideas that we could bring forward and make it part of the solution to climate change.
Thanks, as always, to Davian Dial at WPVM Radio in Asheville, North Carolina, for introducing Listen and Be Heard to the broadcast airwaves, KCEI in Taos, New Mexico, KEPJ in San Antonio, Texas, KHOI in Ames, Iowa, and KFOI in Red Bluff, California, and other stations that are part of the Pacifica Affiliate Network for cultivating the audio garden in your communities, and our own Listen and Be Heard Network, host of WLBH.org. Please visit us at listenandbeheard.net and sign up for our email newsletter and at our Listen and Be Heard YouTube channel, where you will find unedited video interviews of our featured guests. My name is Martha Senator, and I want to thank you for listening and giving me the opportunity to be heard.
Love is everything you do.